Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's May 29th, 2015. You're listening to the finest poker cast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm a flabbergasted Scott Long.
But that's sort of redundant.
Well, yes, that's true.
You're always flabbergasted.
It's just a level of my flabbergastery that has me stunned.
Yet another entry into the Ante Up Dictionary. Flabbergastery.
You know, you think you really know a guy. You've been in business with him for 7 years. Been a buddy with him for, what, 4 or 5 before that. You think you kind of know this guy, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes on a 2-week bender where your jaw just drops to the ground and bounces and comes right back up.
Okay.
Last week, you start the show off by bringing tears to my eyes by going, Scott, I've been fighting it forever, but you are the funny one. And I didn't think anything could shock me more. But then I hear Chris Cosenza pays $50 for a Rush t-shirt. Now, folks, let me put this in perspective for you out there. I have only seen Chris wear 3 categories of shirts in the 15 years I've known him. One are free t-shirts that our clients and sponsors give us. 2 is Ante Up clothing, which I probably forced him to buy. And 3, he has 1 Tommy Bahama shirt that he wears for all special occasions.
I'm actually wearing one of those 3 categories right now.
Of course you are. That's all you have. And now you have a 4th category of ridiculously overpriced concert t-shirt.
Not only
well,
that,
I've got to ask you this.
You got it wrong. It's
$55. Oh, my gosh. It's even worse.
It was extra large.
Is this a magic t-shirt?
It is a magic t-shirt.
Put this t-shirt on, does it massage your nipples or something?
Close. I get excited when I'm wearing it and my nipples get hard.
This is a guy that if I'm like, hey, man, it's really late and tired and it's hot here in Vegas. Let's just take a cab for $10. No, we're going to walk. Money's gonna grow on trees. And spends $55 now on 1 piece of clothes. Is it made from baby seals or something?
No, it's pretty special though. It's a special magical t-shirt.
Now, my understanding from my sources is that you're buying this hype. This might be the last time you see these 70-year-old rockers, right?
It's possible. I may see him one more time in Boston, but yeah. This is probably the last time I'll ever see Rush live, unless they somehow do some sort of special engagement in an area that I'll be around. But yeah, I figured why not? It's my last chance to buy an actual concert t-shirt without going online and buying one and pretending that I went to that show that I bought it from. So the 27th and possibly last time I've seen Rush live happened this past week. And yes, Bob ratted me out to you.
He actually didn't write me out to me, but...
He told Laura, and then Laura told you, or whatever.
It's a little game of telephone we have.
Yeah. And, I wanted to... And you know what? The funny thing is, we get in line, and the line's, like, forever. And I'm like, we're going to miss the beginning of the show. I said, forget it. Let's go during intermission. So we get out there. The shirt's hanging up on the wall that I want, and it's intermission. Okay? I'm, like, the 3rd one in line. The lady says... I said, I want 1 right there. She said, what size? I said, extra large. She goes, oh, we don't have any extra large. We should get some later. I said... Later.
Yes, they're running them off on the screen printer out.
Don't you understand what intermission means? It means the entire stadium, 15,000 people, are going to funnel through the doors and want to buy stuff from you.
How did you not plan for this ahead? You had the last hour to get t-shirts here. I was so mad. So she's like, sorry, I don't have that size. And I didn't like any of the other ones. So I'm like, Bob, get your shirt. So Bob's getting his shirt. And then again, they didn't have his size. So they gave him the one that was on the display. And even that one, he was kind of dubious on whether it was going to fit him. But he buys it. And then I'm like, some guy is holding up the shirt that I want. And I'm like, wait a minute. That guy's bigger than me. What size is that shirt? And she's like, that's 2XL. And I'm like, screw it. Give me the 2XL shirt. And that's why it was 55 instead of 50.
Oh, my gosh. Now you've got to grow into this.
I know.
5-hour piece of thread.
Well, in the past, all these things have shrunk on me. So I'm hoping it shrinks a little bit. But it's not that big on me. It's comfortable. And it's magic. So the more, the merrier.
Yeah, and you probably wear it like 24/7 now, right?
I actually have not worn it
yet. Have you taken it off?
No, I actually have not worn it yet. I'm waiting to. It has a pentagram on it. Actually, it's a star. It's the Starman, and everyone thinks it's a pentagram, so I want to wear it for my religious family when I see them so that they'll have a good kick out of it.
All right, just be sure you slap an Annie Up patch on that so we can act like this is actually an Annie Up discussion. All right, so, you know, the fact that I buttered you up by ratting you out for ridiculously overspending for a T-shirt might help me with my next story. So I flew to Vegas yesterday, obviously, so I'm here, and you can probably tell I'm a little hoarse and tired because I get 3 hours of sleep after being up 23 and a half straight hours, by the way, too. So I want a little golf clap for my dedication to the Antium Nation.
That's crazy.
So, you know, I get to the airport. Laura drops me off, and it's like, you know, butt early. And, you know, I always feel bad when I make her get up, because she's a night person, right?
Yeah.
She dropped me off at the airport. So she drops me off. I get to the gate, and they're like, this flight is overbooked. And I'm like, all right. And they're like, we're looking for somebody to take a bump. And so it sounded like it was $300 plus your one-way ticket. Now, normally, I would jump all over this, right?
Right.
And but I'm only going to be out here in Vegas for 3 weeks. I didn't want to waste an hour. but no, my wife was pretty upset with me about this. So, but I decided not to. And the reason I decided not to, well, multiple reasons. But one, I had checked both my bags, which I meticulously pack my carry-on so I could bring a carry-on with all the essential things because, as you know, I do not have a good track record of my luggage actually making it to Vegas.
You lost your luggage, and it was the worst trip of my life. Let's put it that way. That's how bad it was.
So, well, really, I've been scarred for life about this, right?
Right.
Plus, I had this big box of flyers for the company, right? And it didn't make sense to ship them out here because I'm flying Southwest, so that's a free bag, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, saving the company $25 there. So now my worry, though, is because when I lost my luggage and in that four-month ordeal to get some money back, right, the one thing that they're clear about is business propaganda is not covered.
Yeah.
So I have almost $500 in flyers in my luggage that aren't going to be covered if it doesn't make it there, right? Plus every piece of clothing I own, I would have to go to Rush concert to – have clothes. So I'm worried about it. I'm honestly, seriously worried about it not making it there. Because it's not just putting me on a later flight. It's a connection through, of all places, Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport.
Oh, wow.
Now, folks that haven't been there, write this down. Make sure you never go there. It is the most brutal, gross, disgusting airport in the world. And I've been to a lot of third world country airports. So I'd have to go there and spend like a three-hour layover there, sitting in the urine-filled carpet, and then get to Vegas and be late and not be able to play this first tournament and support our Antioch Poker Tour. So I selfishly decided not to take the bump.
You selfishly did? You unselfishly, right?
Well, I mean, somebody was going to get that money if I took it, right?
Yeah.
But it was all vindicated because I cashed in the tournament last night. So had
Yay!
I not taken the bump, then I would have been stuck in a pool of, you know, some family's urine at the Fort Lauderdale Airport for 3 hours and not been able to support the Antioch Poker Tour and talk to these great people and play poker for 47 straight hours after I'd been up on a six-hour flight.
Wow. Wow.
And I'll tell you, this is why the story is pretty interesting, is that so this tournament started at 11 a.m., and this is the Antioch Poker Tour down here at Gold Nuggets going on through July 3rd, so don't miss that. Come down and
see me. We're playing game two tournaments every day.
And go to AntiUpPokerTour.com/GoldenNugget.com for all that information. But today, yesterday was kickoff, so event one was Omaha 8. And I'm playing out my schedule, and, you know, I've got other things I got to do out here. I got work and other things, and so I can't play all the terms I want to play. So I didn't want to miss one of the good ones that I wanted to. Omaha is my game, right?
Yeah.
And so we land early. Thank you, Mr. Pilot. Get my rental car, which I had to do off-site. I saved us $200 by getting it off-site right in the hotel. A little insider tip, folks.
Yes.
And I thought all the stuff I had to do, I wasn't going to get here in time to play the beginning. Now, late registration goes until like 3:30, or no, I'm sorry, 1:30, something like that. So plenty of time to get in, but I didn't want to miss any value, right? So, and of course, I have to stop and get Las Vegas Advisor, get my Las Vegas Advisor coupon book, because I was right there. That's where the rental car play was. So I get that, get down, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got a whole hour before the tournament starts. And then a huge line to check in. My keys didn't work, so I had to go all the way back down from the 21st first floor, get those done, go back up, drop my bags, go back down. Forgot that I needed to get a Players Club card, had to go wait in that line. And it's 11:14, I rush into the room, don't start without me! Had my money, my card in my hand, and they hadn't started.
Nice.
But my money sat down literally the minute my cheeks hit the seat is when the tournament started.
Nice.
How about timing for that, right?
Man, that's crazy.
So 11:15 at 12:30 p.m. last night, or a.m. this morning, I guess. Jeez. I finished 12th, and they paid how many spots, do you think?
12?
12.
All right.
I was so short stacked on the bubble, and so they got down the hand for hand. I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I going to make this? Because I had a huge hand. Right, I had a lot of chips for most of this tournament. Huge hand where I had on the flop, I flopped a flush draw and opened it a straight draw. And there's only one low card on the board, and I had no low cards in my hand. So this was a super scooper possibility for me.
Right.
Brick, brick. And lost a huge amount of chips. Oh. Now I'm short stacked. And then the guy announces, hey, we're hand for hand. And I'm like, oh, that's good. And the button just passed me. And so I look down, the guy, like two or three spots to my left, fumes. Comes around to me, suited ace tray. I'm like, fold, 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 fold. This guy's like, oh, I got to go all in. I'm like, yes, you do.
Yep.
Survives, of course, right?
Oh.
Next hand comes around to me, suited ace tray again. Fold. Gets to me. He's like, I got to go all in. I'm like, I know you do. And they knocked him out.
All right.
And I'm like, this whole time, it's like the most stressful hand of poker in my life. I'm like, I've been up for literally, it was 23 and a half hours straight by the time I didn't sleep on the plane or anywhere. And I was seeing like little green goblins and stuff. And I'm like, you know, if I went through all of this and skipped that bump and not and go out 13th, it might be my last day in Vegas ever.
Wow.
But he got knocked out, and then I went all in on the next hand and got knocked out myself.
That's all right, though. You got money.
I've never been happier because, you know, I don't know how much longer that tournament would have gone on. It was scheduled as a two-day event, but at the beginning of it, everybody's like, oh, 2 days! So they made it a one-day event. So I, whatever it was, well, 12:30 by the time I got to bed. So, I don't know, 12:15 or so, they had 11 people left.
Man.
And I tell you, it went from 23 to that bubble, took an hour and a half, I think. It was the slowest moving at the end at all. And this is a long story, but it's just to encourage people to come out to Nugget. It's one of our long-time listeners, Ken Allard, you know, our chef that won our big contest a couple years ago.
Yep.
He's coming out here soon, and he's going to get here late like I was, but much later, for our Triple Stud event, which is a week from Friday, I think, or sometime like that. And, you know, he shot me a message. He's like, you know, hey, I know there's late registration, but what's your opinion on whether it's worth it? So I told him yesterday at the time that we did when late entry ended yesterday, which was 3 or 4 hours into this tournament, we had not lost a person yet.
Holy cow.
That's how good Sam built these structures here. I mean, it's ridiculous to see some of these levels that are in there. I mean, he had like a 125, 250 level in this thing.
Holy cow.
So, yeah, you're going to get a lot of play when you come down here. And the buy-ins are cheap. Yesterday was 240. you know, and then we have these big 100K, 350 no limits coming up on the weekends. And so if you want to get the biggest bang for your buck, I got to say, I can't imagine people have better structures than Gold Nugget here. You're gonna play your heart out here.
Awesome.
All right, well, there's also the NEA Poker Tour. The Gold Nugget is obviously the premier event in Las Vegas this summer. But there's a smaller, yet still fun event going on in the Rio called the World Series of Poker. Ever hear of this, Chris?
Not really.
A little upstart thing, just, you know, trying to get the claw its way onto the calendar. But NEA's Wisconsin ambassador, Chad Holloway, is always a mainstay there because of his, quote, day job as managing editor of PokerNews.com. And one of his other, quote, night jobs of winning the casino employee's bracelet a couple years back. He does well out here. And now he has another reason to be there. He's published a new comic book called World Series of Zombies. And just like it sounds like, it's about a zombie outbreak at the World Series of Poker. Features a number of top poker pros. And if you're going to be out here at the series, you can pick up your copy at the Blue Shark Optics booth at the Rio.
It's remarkable how many talented people there are in poker.
Yeah, and then there's us.
What's our talent?
Overspending on t-shirts and not taking airplay compensation.
Yeah, that and probably Omaha 8 mediocrity. It's probably their talent. So. The other thing, too, is did you mention the I might have zoned out there, but I'm not sure. But did you mention the Mirage?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, so if you guys are listening right away, and that means today before the actual publication of the show, our ambassadors are getting together at the Mirage tonight, which is May 28th at 7 p.m. for a low-limit mixed game. And then also we'll be setting up a fan meetup the weekend of June 27th here down here at the Golden Nugget, and I will work on those details and let you know as soon as I have those figured out.
All right.
But back to zombies. I'm not into the zombie thing. I know a lot of people are, but very happy for him, and I saw it. It looks nice. He has... good illustrations. And one of the survivor guys, Eric. Remember Eric, the ice cream guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he helped on this.
Oh, cool.
He did a special limited edition cover or something, I think, like that. So,
man, it's just crazy. The people just, they're just so talented. They have so much going for them, and you and I are just sitting here wasting away.
Now, you know, what's most interesting about this to me is that I think he could have sold a lot more if he would have made it the World Series of Slot Machine Zombies.
Slot Machine Zombies.
Because then he wouldn't have had to hire some guy to do the illustration. He could just snap photos of these people.
The actual people sitting there.
The actual people, right?
Although, you know what? If he had taken a picture of you after 23 and a half hours, yes, knocking on his sleeve, you might have fit right into this World Series of Zombies.
Yeah, yeah. I've never complained about being on the second highest level of a hotel before. I'm like, come on, 21. Get there. Come on, 21.
Is your room 2112?
No, it is not. Sorry. Oh, no Tom Sawyer playing in this room.
Oh, dang. What are you going to do? Hey, I've got some...
I requested that, though.
You should have. I've had that room once on... Well, matter of fact, in Atlantic City, I had room 2112 at Trump Plaza, I think, or Trump Hotel, whatever that is there, when I went with the wife long, long time ago, before I even was a poker player. I had room 2112 once. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I probably could have given him like $55 to get that room.
Hey, that shirt was worth it. It's a lot of material when it's 2XL.
Said no one ever.
Got some Annie updates. AnyUp is excited to be the sponsor of this summer's Poker TDA Summit, the once every 2 years meeting of tournament directors from around the world to debate changes to TDA rules. The sponsorship gives AnyUp increased access to the proceedings, so stay tuned to AnyUp PokerCast and AnyUp Magazine, plus our website, for updates on the new rules and debates over them this year. Now, you're going out again. See, you're going out there now for a while, but then you're coming home. Then you're going back again because we're one of the sponsors of this thing, and you love going to this thing, and get all these people in one room, we can get a lot done.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very excited about this, that they were willing to let us sponsor this and have even better access than we did last year. And, you know, I'm really kind of this rules kind of guy. I kind of like listening to these debates and see how people – different views on it. Obviously, you know, we've had some discussions the last couple of weeks with our good friend Nick, who is in a minority camp. His words, yeah. On a lot of these rules. But, you know, obviously the Call to Floor is one of our most popular segments on the show and in the magazine. So I know poker players really, really are into these rules. So it's nice for us to have a kind of a front row seat here for it and bring it back to you. And I try, but I just could not talk myself into being here in Vegas for 6 weeks straight.
Are you like an observer when you go to that? Because you've been to it a few times now.
Or do you say anything? Right. I'm not I never say anything because I'm not really truly a member of it. And it seems kind of weird for an outsider that's not actually in the poker tournament directing. I mean, I guess tangentially with the cruises, I kind of qualify. I don't think anybody would say anything to me if they did. But, you know, there's enough other people that want to hear themselves speak at these things.
Yeah.
To interject. But there was one rule, and gosh, I'm so tired now. It'll come to me like in the middle of the show, and I'll interrupt a segment that. I know what it is. So this kind of gives me the red ass, burns my toast, whatever you want to say. This whole thing where the levels don't go up until the tournament director announces them.
Okay.
You know this rule?
Where like the clock will say it's going up, so but he hasn't said anything yet.
We've invested in this amazing technology where we have life-size numbers ticking down on the wall of every tournament, right?
Yeah.
But unless a Joe tournament director gets on the mic right then and goes, hey, levels are up, players at the table, doesn't count. He didn't say it. And we're all pointing at the screen. Doesn't count though he says it. All right, now that's technically a rule.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's stupid.
Tell me how you really feel.
So this might be one where maybe I'll pass a note to one of my friends at tournament directors and say, hey, take a bullet for me. Tell these people this is stupid. I mean, really, because you can see the clock. I mean, this is kind of like going back to, you know, Sam when he did the call before talking about, you know, you shouldn't want to win a hand in the technicality, right?
Yeah.
And that's a technicality, isn't it?
Everybody
in the room knows that the levels are up now. Just because the guy didn't say it, we have to wait. We're like kindergartners waiting for our juice boxes. We can't think for ourselves.
If they're going to make this, if they're going to keep this enforced, then they need to update the technology to stop at every level, and he'll have to say, blinds are up, and then hit the button. If they're going to make it a rule, because then you're hurting people who are witnessing
it.
Yeah, exactly. That's just ridiculous. So they should just let it go, and hey, you need to pay attention. That's what you pay your dealers for. That's what the people on the table do. I mean, you're supporting the system as it is. I just think that's ridiculous that you have to wait for him to say it when we can all see it.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're going to make it a rule, you need to do it that way.
A lot of rooms, they don't really enforce that. I mean, I'll point out, I'm like, hey, levels are up. And dealer, oh, thank you, levels are up. And everybody's fine with it, right?
Right.
Because they're normal, well-adjusted, not by raised by wolves in a cave people, right? But then everyone's wanting to go to these other rooms. And, oh, they didn't say it. I'm like, all right, sir. You obviously have more trouble in your life than I do, so we'll play one more. And they're not even in the blind, right?
Right.
I mean, I get it. If you're in the big blind, you're short stacked. You're going to be doing the little, what clock? I don't say clock.
You already chuffled.
You know, you can't trust technology. I think that's wrong. You got to wait for the guy. Okay, I'll give you credit for that one. But
blinds are already posted.
Right, yeah. You're in seat five, you know, you're probably going to fold, and they always do. And I'm like, come on. Let's just play by the rules, folks.
Hey, it's time to cast your ballot in Antiep's MPD, Most Popular Dealer Contest. Go to antiepmagazine.com/MPD and vote for up to 3 dealers in each of 5 regions. All voters are automatically entered into a drawing to win one of more than 400 prizes from our sponsors. Voting is open through July 8th, and iPhone users will need to enable cookies in order to vote. Hey, each week we spotlight a listener who calls our hotline at 206-338-6344 or emails us at podcast@antiepmagazine.com. And if they haven't won something from us in the past year, just like we do with Call the Floor and Hand of the Week, we send them something cool. This week's sponsor is One Hand at a Time, home of poker instructional videos online. Antiep listeners save $30 by registering at onehandatatime.com/antiep. We have an audio clip. Call our hotline. I love that, from Dave from Jersey, and it's timely, so let's get to it.
I need any advice on poker rooms I have to see, anything I have to do, anything Vegas-related, poker-related that I need to do, see, experience my visit. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
This is kind of like our annual call, right? Once a year somebody calls and says, hey, I'm going to Vegas for the first time. Let me know what to do, right?
Yes.
And I was put on the show because, you know, we get new listeners every year, right?
So, yes.
First of all, he asked about rooms and stuff. We just covered that like a couple weeks ago, right? So,
yes.
You know, really, it's up to you. Generally speaking, the tourists are on the Strip. Locals are on the locals' casinos. And downtown's kind of a mix. So pick from that what you want. But obviously, pick up Antioch Magazine. We have all the listings in the back of the magazine. You can figure out the tournaments going on. And there's a ton of tournament series going on now. Number one, of course, is the Antioch Poker Tour here at Gold Nugget. So I don't know if you heard, but we have great structures here. So. But aside from that, my two big tips always are, as I mentioned, and I get no money from these guys, and I should, as much as I've been promoting LasVegasAdvisor.com. But $40, you get a year membership to their online newsletter, their forums, which have a wealth of information, and a coupon book that's the best coupon book I've ever seen. And even if you're here for a weekend, you can probably make your money back on that. But if you're unsure, you can go to their website and see the list of coupons and decide. But that's got a good mix of stuff. And gives you a good idea of some stuff to do, too. It's almost kind of a guide as well, too. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And then I haven't visited lately, so it may not even exist. But my old standby for information on Vegas was cheapovegas.com, which had good, funny reviews of hotels and restaurants and things like that. That's a good little free thing to do. And then, of course, when you're around here, you'll pick up what they call the old tourist mags, the 24/7 and the Vegas, whatever it is. I just picked them up yesterday in the cab. And you can flip through there to get coupons and things to do. It's tough to really recommend anything because everybody's a little different, right?
Yeah, no, you just, and like, you know, if you're on the cheap, Scott knows all about that. He runs sort of a cover story for the Times newspaper, TBT, about how to do it cheaply. And there's ways to do that. And if you're extravagant, there's ways to do that. It's, everything's out there that you could possibly want for whatever amount of money you want to spend and whatever time you want to spend. So,
you know, it's what's funny about that, too, is my good friend Jim Webster, who just co-authored a book with celebrity chef Mario Batali.
Batali, yeah.
And we finally, because he travels a lot for the book, and he's working on another book as well, too, and we never seem to catch up on our travels. We always kind of joke about it. He's actually going to be out here in Vegas this weekend because Mario is doing a some kind of huge cuisine thing at the Venetian that people are very excited about. So we're actually going to be out here together. And he's like, you know, I got to see Vegas through Andy Up's eyes. And I'm like, Jim, you're probably the most esteemed foodie I know. And you really want to see the $4.99 steak special followed by the 2-for-1 buffet? And he's like, I honestly really do.
And what was that pound hot dog for $1.99 or something?
Yeah, that's no more. It used to be a 99-cent 1-pound hot dog.
Oh,
in the West,
man. And then there was the shrimp cocktail that was like 99 cents.
Shrimp cocktail still here. That's downtown. Actually, everybody does a shrimp cocktail now. The price has gone up a little bit, but I think you could actually still get a shrimp cocktail for 99 cents.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I saw a really pathetic one last night. I won't out the restaurant. but yeah, you can still do those. The $4.99 steak special at Ellis Island is no longer $4.99. I think it's like up to $8.99. But you get a beer now, and it's a great steak. So you never that's one of the ones that I never miss.
Yep.
And they have great, great, pretty cheap ribs at Ellis Island too. And I just learned this. I can't believe it. Right, that same block. That's where Tupac did it. If you believe
oh,
it.
Oh, really? Man, I've been. How many times have we gone there? Boy, a
dozen? I know.
Wow, and we didn't bite it.
No, had no idea. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, make sure you tell Webster I said hi.
Actually, I will do. But yeah, there's a ton to do out here. And, you know, I was even looking at new stuff because the wife's coming out here next week to hang out for me a week. And we want to do some stuff. They got a big neon sign, Boneyard, you know, all the old signs.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's a new big attraction that's going on. And Ramsey, our cruise ship poker manager, and I are thinking about doing the indoor skydiving this time. So, and there's like 7 places where you can shoot machine guns if you want. So, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff like that if you want to do and plenty of shows. So really hard to narrow down, but just pick up those books and find out what you like. And then pick up Annie Up Magazine to figure out where you want to play poker.
That's right. Don't forget to play poker. All right. Find yourself in a situation at your favorite poker room or your home game, and you're not sure what the proper ruling should have been. Email us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com, and we'll have Snoqualmie Casino Director of Poker Elliot Schechter tell you how he would have ruled. This comes from Big Guru, our good friend, our cruising buddy. Been listening to the show for a long time.
Absolutely.
Says, we're in a $60 mixed Omaha No Limit tournament at a Delaware casino. At Showdown, the board is Jack-Jack, 5-8-6, 3 clubs. Seat 4 shows King of Clubs, Deuce of Clubs, XX. I never had an XX card, but I wish I could find one.
You know what? I think that should be the call to floor.
That's right. Well, how does somebody have XX?
Two X's.
So he announces flush with no-go. Seat 5 tables ace-deuce 6-6, and seat 9 shows ace-deuce XX again for the nut low.
Their X's are counterfeited.
I know. I don't get it. The dealer mucks seat 5's hand. The player says, wait, I had a boat. Dealer turns over the top four muck cards, reveals ace, deuce, six, six. Seatford says, you can't pull cards out of the muck. The floor is called. Floor rules that seat five wins the high and seat nine wins the low. But seat four goes ballistic and says seat five only tabled 1-6. The floor pauses the clock and then calls the eye in the sky. Does the eye actually answer? After several minutes, we hear that all four cards were definitely face up, but that they are unable to read them. Floor comes back with a new ruling to make everybody happy, quote, close quote. The pot will be split three ways, a share to each of the three players. Not half quarter quarter, but third, third, third. People object, but the floor says that's the final ruling. I must admit, I do not understand this final ruling, he says.
All right, here's what Elliot says. Why does it seem as though the only hands in Omaha 8 that get announced by the players holding them are the ones held by players that are mostly convinced that these hands won't get a piece of the pot? Furthermore, shame on the player in seat 5 for letting the dealer take his cards away before the pot was split and awarded. He apparently knew what he had, or what he held, and didn't speak up until it was way too late. The player in seat 4 was right about the dealer not being able to go in the muck. But a floor person certainly can and should have had surveillance try to ascertain that the same four cards mucked by the dealer were returned to the player in seat 5, regardless of their actual value. With no verification of seat 5's cards, half quarter quarter seems to be the right split. To split the pot in thirds to keep the players happy is incorrect and misguided.
Yeah, I have to agree, because, I mean, how can somebody get a third who is only entitled to a quarter? And how can somebody only get a third who is entitled to a half? Something's just not right there with that.
Yeah,
with that
it's division. Interesting the word entitled there, right? Because that's where people would probably get upset. Because the one guy probably says that one guy's not entitled to anything because he mucked, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, if all the hands were properly up, there is no scenario where it would have been split third, third, third.
Yeah, exactly.
So, whatever word you want to use for entitled that's not entitled is correct. And wow.
It's not Omaha high low anymore. It's Omaha high middle and low. Because there's no way to get a third out of high and low. You have to get a third from three things. So it's a new game they invented there at this casino.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, you know, we get to complete O'Malley's move today. It's always exciting. And you're in Vegas, and you still get to complete O'Malley's move, so you should feel honored. Here we go. Let's refresh our memories with part one.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week we're playing in a $1, $2 PLO8 home game. We're fairly new to this home game in particular, and only know one of the players fairly well. However, the table has been friendly, and the players seem pretty decent. The table is six-handed. The blinds post, the plus one calls, the cutoff calls, and we're on the button with the ace of spades, nine of hearts, eight of hearts, tray of spades. I like this hand. We're double suited, and while the 9-8 isn't the best combo, we could hit some nut straights with that. Plus, we have a suited ace with another wheel card. We don't know the players very well. The game has only been going for roughly 30 minutes, but so far it's a pretty conservative table. We sit with our original buy-in of $400, and we decide to change the tone a little bit. We make it $12 to go. The big blind calls, as does the cutoff, and we're going to a flop with about $35 in the pot. Bingo! It comes down the 10 of spades, 7 of clubs, 6 of diamonds. We flop the nut straight and have a pretty decent low draw with backup runner-runner to the nut flush. It's checked to us and we decide to make a bet. Without really thinking things through, we put in $20. Perhaps that's a little low? We get the big blind to fold, but the cutoff calls, and we see a turn with $75 in the pot. The turn is the 4 of spades, and our opponent wastes little time in putting $40 into the pot. So, did he hit his nut low? This card brings us a myriad of other outs. What's the play here?
Wow, is this like the Omaha 8 show here?
I know.
Omaha 8 tournament, Omaha 8 call the floor, Omaha 8 O'Malley's move, I love it. I love the spot, and I'm not afraid to get it in here if it comes at that. So I'm raising. We have the nuts with a nut flush redraw and have the second nut low. In Omaha, you almost always are going to have to fade cards. That's just part of the deal.
Yeah, get it in with the best. That's my motto, baby. That's all I got to say. Let's hear part two.
Hello again. We have the nut high, but we could be getting quartered. However, we've got a lot of outs to both improve our high and make the nut low. We decide to raise. We make it $80 to go. Our opponent snap calls. Must be the nut low. With about 2:30 in the pot, the river is the five of hearts, and it goes check, check. Our opponent tables ace, ten, deuce, deuce, and we chop the pot. Until next time, I'm Malcolm O'Malley saying, don't be afraid to change the mood of the table. You might be just a few aggressive plays away from being the table captain. I hope to see you on the felt.
All right, a little odd move from our opponent, betting into us with a nut low and a pretty weak high. But it's one that I do from time to time, and I recommend it, from time to time, when I'm against tight players who might fold or players who love second nut hands, and there's a lot of those players in Omaha. I don't think O'Malley is either of those players, so it's not a move you'll see me do against him if I ever get the honor of playing with him again.
I'm with you on this. I don't do it often either, but if I know I'm the only one with the low, and there's a ways to know sometimes, depending on, and your head's up, and you know the way he's played it up till now, he's been pushing the whole time, hoping a low wouldn't get there, and that's why he's doing it, and then the low backdoors or something, then I might say, hey, I'm betting you hard here, so you could think about it, maybe fold if you're tight. Other than that, just call, you know, but basically, I'm not the person pushing the action with the low. It's just not smart.
Yeah, I mean, there's scenarios where you the flop comes two high cards and one low card, and theoretically you're not supposed to be in there with just a low draw at that point. But sometimes people are. But generally speaking, if somebody's it's a bet and call, and maybe a bet or raise and a call at that point, there's always a problem because you have four cards in your hand, and maybe they have the low to go with a really nice high. But generally, they're probably not in there, with just a low at that point.
Right.
So. And then, if you've got a two-way hand and your two-way or your top hand isn't graded by the end, but, you've obviously got the nut low, then maybe you can bet in the folks there and try to get them to get into a raising war for that high. Obviously the risk is getting quartered yourself if you're wrong, but generally, that's a scenario where I think more than likely you're up against two highs, and that's the name of the game here. If you've got one half of it and the other two people are fighting for the other half, you want to get as much money in as you possibly can.
Right. I and of course the O'Malley stuff was pretty ABC here. I mean, there was right. Really nothing there. It's just the what's going on with the opponent. That's just kind of bizarre, but it's weird. I guess he checks the end, right? Well, he checks the end because something get there? I'm trying to remember. The river was the five of hearts, right? So the flop is ten of spades.
Yeah, it would have been straight.
I guess straight.
Six.
Yeah, which we had already not still. So I don't know. I don't know if I would have checked the end. I might have. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess you're worried that they have the same hand as you and he's quartering you. Maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Okay. But it's the five of hearts, so, you got the nut flush now, right? You guess the straight flush could beat you, I guess, right?
So, well, now we have...
we had the spade draw.
Yeah.
We had the smaller hearts.
Right, we had the smaller hearts.
So that's why you go check, check. Okay, that's cool. I was thinking the nut draw was the hearts, but it was the spades. Okay. So, yeah, so it just makes total sense then. I think he played it fine. It's just his opponent was a little trying to be tricky, I guess, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, sometimes you have to be. You can't play any poker game ABC, so right. You got to find a place to step out on occasion. It just has to be the right place to step out.
Absolutely.
All right, it's time for Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations to podcast@antiamagazine.com. Our good friend Lauren, this is another cruise special here.
Yes.
Been on a couple of our cruises, too, and some of the same ones that Big Crew has been on.
Yes.
All right, so he's got a situation for us. I was playing in a charity tournament, $250 entry, unlimited rebuys for the first 90 minutes, with an optional single or double add-on at the end of the period. The classic charity event.
Yep.
Advertises $250, but really $1,000.
Yeah, got to make money for the charity.
Blind levels are up every 20 minutes for that period, and then 15 minutes thereafter.
Jeez.
And I got to say, one of the things that people really loved last night in the tournament, we're talking about the structure, the nugget here. Starts out 30-minute levels, then goes to 45-minute levels.
Nice. That's the kind. And then it happens, too, with really good structures. They do that. They'll go from, 40 to an hour or something, and that's the mark of a good tournament.
Yeah, and I think some of the tournaments, it might be all of them, but some of them, final table goes to 60-minute levels.
Yeah,
so you get
awesome.
A lot of play at the times that you want a lot of play, and a little quicker when you want to get the dead weight out. But this is opposite, though. He said they go up every 20 minutes, and then 15 minutes after they get you the heck out of there. Once the charity gets their money, they're done.
That's right.
Pitching those cards, right? So he says, yeah, essentially a turbo crapshoot designed to raise the most money possible for the charity. They were awarding main event seats to the top two with other prizes for the rest of the final table. At this particular place, the rebuy add-on period is over now, and our hero has 9 big blinds under the gun. He said he had double up 20, immediately the blinds went up, putting me back at 9. Isn't that the worst?
Oh, I hate that.
As the blinds passed and a few antes, I was down to 6 when the table broke, and I got moved to a table where everyone seemed to have a lot of chips. We were nowhere near the money. Maybe 100 people left. So he says, that's the background. Yeah. All right, so you got it?
Yeah.
I have 6 big blinds and get moved to a new table, seated under the gun plus 1 and a full table. I get 3 of clubs, 4 of clubs. And notice I said 3 instead of tray there. That's how tired I am. And the first act folds. So it's on us. Do we shove with 8 people to act behind us, knowing we have to hit? Or do I fold and hope for something higher to shove with the next round? Because obviously the blinds are coming pretty quickly.
Okay, so for me, when I shove like this, I really want at least 1 high card because I want to know that that card could win it for me.
If right.
If there's a possibility people aren't going to pair up and your high card will win, ace high or king high or something. In this case, yeah, I don't mind suited connectors if I have quite a few folds before me. But if I'm at a table where they have a ton of chips, and I know they're not anywhere near money, but it's obvious why you're shoving. You don't have ace-ace, you know? If you had ace-ace, you'd play it a little more cagely. So I really think that if I'm going to shove, even if they are connectors, if I'm going to do it early, though, I'm going to want high connectors because I want the possibility of my high card being the high card at showdown. That's one more, at least one more way to win. 3-4, you are not winning with 3 or 4 as the high card. And so it's just one less way
yeah,
to win.
Yeah, he says that. Yeah, I know I have to hit if I play this hand.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I don't like having to hit to win. I've got some time here if I'm under the gun, and it sounds like, you know, you've got a few hands at least, plus one. You got a few hands at least before the blinds are creeping close. Something in there is going to be higher than 3-4. Or tray four, as Scott likes to say. So, and I know, Scott, I think I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me as a short stack ninja. You always like to wait until the last absolute possible minute. So I don't know if you'll agree or not, but to me.
Well, here's the thing. I'll half agree. And you have to know the table, and the problem is he just got moved to this table.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I'll hold on to my chips with the Vulcan Death Grip, right? Mm. And to the last possible moment when I need to release them. That being said, I also understand the proper math. So if I am on the button in this particular situation with trade four clubs and everybody's in before me, I'm not even thinking twice about putting those chips in.
Right.
Because now there's a ton of money in there. I'm going to have to hit anyhow, I know. But now if I hit that down, now I'm not short stacked anymore. Now I've got like 2 or 3 hands I can wait before I have to be short stacked again, right? Mm-hmm. So I like that hand in that situation. So to reverse it, I would shove here if I felt confident that I was going to get a lot of callers and built that pot up. I don't know if you can be that confident ever, and certainly not at a new table where you don't know where these guys are, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like everybody has a lot of chips, and you're short stacked, so maybe people will splash around. You know, 6X, though, that's you're not going to get a lot of callers for the 6X raise, I don't think.
Well, when they know there's no more money behind, though, they might say, hey, I don't have to worry about flop, turn, bets coming at me now. It's just
yeah, but I don't know if they want to get – if you're just a random player, like, in middle position, do you want to call 6 big blinds not knowing what's going to happen after you unless you have a decent hand, right?
Yeah, he just said it seems like they have a lot. I'm wondering what a lot is.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if I got 100 big blinds and some random guy's table, 6X is nothing.
Some fold equity there. I just don't think you can fade from under the gun plus one. I don't think you can fade all around.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's 18 cards there. That's
so, yeah, so I don't. At this point, I don't feel confident I'm going to get enough callers to make it worth it for 3-4. I mean, it's odd to say, but I don't really want very low possibility of it folding all the way around and actually pick up the blinds here, which is really what you want to do at this point, right?
Yeah.
So if it's not that, then I want a ton of callers. So, you know, when I hit my hand, then I'm going to be good to go for a couple hands. And I can't count.
Yeah. There's no way you can know.
All right. So here's what happened. He says, I folded and it folded all the way around and the big blind took it. Knowing that, I of course regretted the decision, But forgetting how it turned out, you know, what do you think was the best play? If I was in a later position, I'd shove those connectors in a heartbeat. But second act seemed like I have to fade way too many players with four high.
Yeah.
I'm not even actually sure I would shove them in a heartbeat later on.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's tough. If you're on, like you said, I think you mentioned the button. If you're on the button with them and people have limped or something, yeah, you're going to get your money's worth. If they all folded to you on the button, maybe, maybe not. I mean, if you're in the big blind, you've already got one blind out there to call five more, and you have 100 big blinds in front of you, and you might knock a player out, and you know you're not going to face any more bets from them, you might be willing to make that call. So, yeah, it's tough to say. If you had a lot of people in there.
And you're on the button, too. So you've got, what? You got a full table. You
full table left. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's not automatic for me either. I agree with you. But well, that's the other thing too is, you know, you play charity tournaments, you know, you can't think like that. You just gotta get it in, and you should have got it all in before the rebuy. All right, don't forget Antioch Poker Tour at the Golden Nugget. Scott's there for a good long time. Go down and see him, and then if you listen to this early enough, the Mirage tonight. I'm Chris Cosenza,
and I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Antiup is a production of antiupmagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@antiupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 206-338-6344. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@antiupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.